we can also improve our material life. By following the principles laid down by great sages and saints of the past, we can very easily understand the aim of all life. The word avara means inexperience. It's very significant in this verse. Every conditioned soul is inexperienced. Everyone is a bodhak jata, born a fool and a rascal. In democratic government at the present moment, all kinds of fools and rascals are making decisions. But what can they do? What is the result of their legislation? They enact something today just to whimsically repeal it tomorrow. One political party utilizes a country for one purpose, and the next moment another political party forms a different type of government and nullifies all the laws and regulations. The process of chewing the chew, puna puna charvita charvananam, will never make human society happy. In order to make all human society happy and prosperous, we should accept the standard methods given by the liberated persons. Tan atistatiya samyag upayam purvadarshitan avarashradi upeta upayam bindatendasam. One who follows the principles and instructions enjoined by the great sages of the past can utilize these instructions for practical purposes. Such a person can very easily enjoy life and pleasures. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Vishapitam Jena Gurave Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Jalati Sabarandiyam Aradanasanandandai Vijamya Chekuna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhujo Tulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Panchakalpatruvyascha Kripasindhu Vaivajam Patitanam Pavanevyo So I was born in the darkest of ignorance, with my eyes closed shut, but my spiritual masters opened my eyes with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Therefore I offer my full obeisances to his lotus feet. So here we find a very surprising verse. Every day we're talking about giving up material enjoyment, giving up all the pleasures of the senses. And here it is saying that if we follow the sages of the past, then we can enjoy life and pleasures. Seems like a contradiction. But just like I remember one time, there was one young boy, he lived in somewhere in Arizona, I can't remember. But passing through the airport, he got a book from one of the devotees. He read that book, then he wrote to the address there on Vasika Avenue. He got more books, he got japa mala, a meat bag, and he learned how to offer his food. So then they wrote to him that Prabhupada's coming to LA, if you can come, it'd be very nice. So that young fellow, he came, and he was invited to come on the morning walk. So Prabhupada, when he was in LA, sometimes he would go to the beach, or sometimes he would go to, what's the name of it? Chevy, no, not Chevy, sometimes Chevy Chase,
Chevy Hills.
Chevy at Hills Park. So this particular day I was on that walk, this young boy was there. So he was tagging along behind Prabhupada. Prabhupada walked very fast, it was amazing. We were young people, but we had a hard time to keep up. And suddenly he blurted out, Srila Prabhupada, I've read in your books, wherever a pure devotee stays, all material enjoyment goes away. And Prabhupada stopped, he dug his cane into the sand, and he turned around to see who asked this question. He said, we do not say do not enjoy. You were not in the kirtan this morning? Oh yes, Prabhupada. That was not enjoyable? Oh yes, Prabhupada. You were not in the class discussing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness? Huh? The boy said, oh yes, Prabhupada. That was not enjoyable? Yes. Yes, Prabhupada, that was very enjoyable. Yes. This is enjoyment like a human being. We do not say do not enjoy, we say enjoy like a human being. And this drink and dance all night in disco club, even Prabhupada heard this word. That is enjoyment? Oh no, Prabhupada. No, that is enjoyment like Canada. So we do not say do not enjoy, we say you enjoy like a human being. Therefore, all the instructions of the sages, Mahajana Jaini Katha Sapanta, we are urged to follow the footsteps of the great sages. Because they have all crossed over this ocean of material existence. So they can point out the path. Just like if we come to this Melbourne and we want to find the Hare Krishna temple, well, one way we can walk all over town. But that will take a very long time. That will take a very long time. And we may not find it. Melbourne, as we saw yesterday, we went all the way to, where was it? Goldfield. So it is a very expanded city. So that will be impractical. But if we go to the policeman and we ask him, do you know where the Hare Krishna temple is? Yeah, you go down the street, you go to the street, then you find Dank Street and there it is. Or we ask somebody who lives in the city, they're experienced. Then we can find out very easily. So Mahajana Jaina Katha Sapanta, Prabhupada over and over emphasizes this verse. That we should follow the footsteps of the Mahajanas. Then very easily, not only will our material life be peaceful, but in the next life we'll go back to home, back to Godhead, to life of eternal bliss and knowledge. Because in the present age, as we discussed yesterday, everything is based on greed and lust. And greed and lust burn like fire. We see the whole, everybody in the society is agitated. Just like there's a fire anywhere, then it becomes very agitating. Just like in California, so many fires last month. So much destruction, so much loss of life. So everybody is stoking the fire of material enjoyment, and the situation is becoming unbearable. Just like forest fire becomes unbearable. Because everybody is competing against one another. Just like one time, one king was there. He invited all the devas and the daityas to a feast. But the rule was that he was tying sticks to their arm. You have to eat without bending your arm. If you can't bend your arm, how will you eat? So the daityas, they're more, at least the demigods tend to be a little more self-controlled. So we invited the daityas to eat first, since they can't control their senses. And they were having a very hard time. How will you get the food to your mouth? You know, they were taking that gulab jamun and tossing it right on the nose, like that, throwing the bowl of sweet rice on top of the head. Nobody had a good time. So then they cleaned up the mess and they sat down all the devas. So the devas, they sat one in front of the other. And the one in the front, he offered something to the one in front of him, and the other one, he offered something to one in front of him. And this way they enjoyed very nicely the feast. So now the situation is weird. There's only a limited number of sense objects, and everybody's competing. And let me get as much sense gratification as I can. We're competing with one another. But Krishna conscious life means serving. We give up the enjoying when it's serving, then we actually enjoy. then we can actually enjoy. Just like I was singing, as soon as I saw this verse, I was singing another time. Prabhupada told, when you become liberated soul, then you can enjoy. And Gargamuni said, but Prabhupada, you taught us that we have to give up material enjoyment. He said, then Prabhupada gave the story, there was one man, he was hauling the barges upstream. They have to take the barges with so much goods on them up the stream. So he's pulling against the current. His feet are pressing very hard against the ground. And Prabhupada, he is thinking that when I become a millionaire, I will line this whole bank of the river with pillows, with mattresses. Then my feet won't hurt so much. And Prabhupada said, do you think when he becomes a millionaire, he'll be pulling barges up the river? So it's not that when we become self-realized, we'll enjoy material enjoyment, we'll enjoy spiritual enjoyment. So, therefore the best option for us is Mahajana Jaina Katasapan, to follow the footsteps of those who are experienced. The pure devotees, they're experiencing the bliss of Krishna consciousness. And their only desire is to get us to come to that bliss. I heard stories, Prabhupada, they were on morning walk, driving to the morning walk, and they passed by golf course. So Prabhupada saw, what are they doing? So Prabhupada, they have a little stick and they try to hit a ball into a hole in the ground. And Prabhupada said, just see, they're wasting their human form of life. And the devotee who told the story said he saw a tear coming in Prabhupada's eyes. Tear was coming. He's a pure devotee, he's experiencing the relief from all the troubles of material existence. And he just wants others to experience that same thing. So he's giving instructions. In material life, everyone's giving us instruction so that we'll become baffled, so that they can defeat us. Everybody is cheating us.
This is water.
Somehow or other, it's like we have saying, misery loves company. So everybody is suffering, they want us also to suffer. It's like Prabhupada, he really relished Charlie Chaplin movies. This is days before there was sound. So Charlie Chaplin did all his movies as pantomime. So they were at some sort of a ball. Everybody was dressed up with very expensive tuxedos and very beautiful dresses. And somehow this fellow, he sat down, Charlie Chaplin, he sat down on a chair that had some glue on it. So when he stood up, the tails of his tuxedo, they were torn off. So he was dancing and everybody was looking. He saw that everyone was looking at him, so he began to dance even more dramatically. And everybody looked even more, and then he began to dance more dramatically. So everyone thought, this is the latest style, and they all pulled out scissors from their pockets, and their very expensive tuxedos, they cut off the tails. So like this, everyone is suffering, but they want everybody to continue suffering. So everybody... But the pure devotee, he simply wants that we should become to the level of being free from all miseries. So here Prabhupada says, avara. He said this word is very significant. Avara means inexperience. And he explains that every conditioned soul is a bodha jata. Jata you can figure out just like we sometimes celebrate Janmashtami. So jata means to be born, and abodha, just like, you know, buddhi means intelligence, abodha. And Prabhupada translates, what is that? We're born fools and rascals. So when we have nothing but everyone is fool and rascal, so then we have this democratic form of government, means that all the fools and rascals will elect the biggest fool and rascal. Everybody is fool and rascal, so naturally they will elect the biggest fool and rascal. It's like you can go on Google now and type idiot and see what you get. You click on images, after you type idiot, click on the images and see what happens. So they will elect the biggest fool and rascal to guide them, or misguide them, actually. And Prabhupada explains, and we're practically seeing before our eyes, that one government comes, makes so many laws, the next government comes behind, changes all the laws, the next one comes, changes everything. Everything is changing and changing, and the whole human society is completely disturbed. No one is peaceful. But the kings, in old Vedic times, they were trained up by great sages. They all had their advisors were all great sages. And whenever any great sage would come, they would take advice from them. Just like Janak Maharaj. One time, Yajnavalkya, the great sage Yajnavalkya, came to the court of Janak Maharaj. Janak Maharaj immediately stood up and received him very nicely, washed his feet, sprinkled it on everyone's head. He sat, Yajnavalkya, in his own throne, worshipped him properly. And then he sat at the foot of his own throne. And Janak Maharaj was a Rajarshi. Raja Rishi, Rajarshi. So he asked a very intelligent question. Why is it that we're unable to give up material enjoyment? Why we're so attached to material enjoyment? And Yajnavalkya walked over to one of the pillars of the palace, and he wrapped his arms around that pillar and said, let me go. It's not that we're being trapped by material enjoyment, we're grabbing onto it, and then we're going, let me go, this is our situation. So the kings, they were guided by great sages like this who had experience. And we're trained in the Vedic instruction. We heard yesterday that we have to follow all the Vedic instructions. Shastra means shasan. Shasan means to guide. The shastra is meant to guide us back to the lotus feet of the Lord. It is not meant to give us trouble. It is meant to guide us back to the lotus feet of the Lord. So we have to follow shastra. And the importance of shastra, there was one time all the because shastra is our praman, it's our evidence. Praman is evidence. For those things beyond our senses, sense perception, our only evidence is shastra. So one time all the older gopis came to Mother Yasoda. And they were complaining that your Lala is coming, is stealing buttermilk and yogurt from our house. And Mother Yasoda said, Are Sakya, what do you think? That we don't have buttermilk and yogurt in our house? My Patidev, Nanda Baba, he has 9 lakhs of cows. You know 1 lakh? 1 lakh means 100,000. 9 lakhs means almost 1 megabyte. So dude, dahi, makan, ghee, ye sab nadi ki barabar hamare ghar par behti rehti hai. These things are flowing in our house like a river. Why my Lala would go to someone else's house to steal? Have you got any praman? You have some evidence? Aapke paas saboot hai? You have some evidence? You have praman? Are Saki, you want praman? We'll bring your Lala, hu me makan and hat me makan. Butter on the mouth, butter on the hand. So then the gopis, they went and they got the best milk and bread from Krishna's favorite cow, Padma Ganda. You can understand, Padma, you know, means lotus. And Ganda, you may not know, but means fragrant. Her milk is fragrant like a lotus. So like last night, they gave us this nice milk, what do you call them? From mother cow. Very nice, very tasty. So Padma Ganda, we can't even begin to imagine. This is just from ordinary cows. It's so tasty. So they took that milk and they turned it into yogurt, because in Braj, we don't scrape the cream off of the milk and turn that into butter. We take the whole milk, turn it into yogurt, and turn that into butter. If you want to see, in February we always have our annual festival of Jindagun temple opening. And on the main festival day, we have, everyone gets to try their hand in turning yogurt into butter. You can watch everybody. We have American gopis and British gopis and Peruvian gopis and Braj gopis and Punjabi gopis and South Indian gopis and gopas also. Italian gopas and German gopas. Everybody gets a chance. And we turn the yogurt into very nice makhan, butter. And I read an article that that butter made from the cream, that butter and ghee made from the cream, creates bad cholesterol. And that butter and ghee made from the yogurt creates good cholesterol in the body. Since you guys all worry about these things these days, I'm telling you. So, they took that yogurt, prrr, prrr, ching, ching, ching. Gopis always have so many bangles. The bangles going ching, ching, ching. And they turned it into butter. Then they put that butter in a pot, in a clay pot. And they put little bells all around the mouth of the pot. If anybody moves this pot, then the bells will ring. Then they hung that pot from the rafters, and all along the rope they put little bells. Anybody tries to untie, all the bells will ring. Then they thought, he's a very clever fellow, he may try to use the grinding mortar to climb up. So they put little bells all around the grinding board. Anybody moves this underneath the pot, then all the bells will ring. And he's a very tricky fellow, both Chalue. So they put bells all around the window. He may try to come by the window. So they put bells, anybody tries to come to the window, all the bells will ring. But then all the gopis hid themselves. So then, Krishna and all his friends, they came upon the scene. And Krishna looked at the whole scene. All around the window were bells. All over the ukkal are bells, the grinding mortar. All along the rope are bells. All around the mouth of the pot are bells. And Krishna said, "Are, who do these sakis think I am anyway? Who do they think I am? By my will, millions of universes come into existence. By my will, they're all destroyed. What are these little bells? Who do they think I am anyway? What are these little bells?" Then he looked at all the bells and said, "Don't ring." So, then Krishna and all the cowherd boys, they went through the window, not a single bell rang. He moved that grinding mortar underneath the pot, not a single bell rang. He untied the rope, not a single bell rang. He brought the pot down, he moved it toward his mouth, not a single bell rang. He put his hand inside the pot and began to eat that butter. And all the bells in the room began to ring. And the gopis jumped out. "Ha, we got you. We got you." And Krishna became very upset. He said, "Ha, we got you. Mume makan and hot me makan. Butter on the mouth, butter on the hand. And Krishna became very upset. Are, I told you not to ring? Huh? Meri baat nahi manti? You don't respect my word? Huh? Meri baat nahi manti? Huh? You don't respect my word? Huh? And all the bells said, Are Maharaj, kosi baat manao? Tu ne kaha ki mat bachna? Lekin shastra mein likha hai, jo gopal ko bhog lagane to shastra. All the bells said, which word should we respect? Huh? You told us not to ring, but in Shastra it says that when you offer bhog to Gopal, you have to ring the bell. It's like they were just making the bhog offering, you hear the bell. So even though Krishna told not to ring, because Shastra said to ring, the bells ring. Huh? So therefore we have to follow the orders of Shastra. Shastra is meant to guide us back to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Bhagavan. And we have to follow those who are following Shastra, the great sages. Mahajanaji and Prabhupada is one of the most favorite verses of Prabhupada. Then we'll find the human society will become peaceful. Because by our exploitation, we see everything is just like we're making so many inventions to make life more comfortable. It's like to move around, it takes time and it's very difficult. So now we've invented the motor car. But now you go in any big city, you cannot breathe. By moving slowly, it's not that we'll die. But if you can't breathe, then you'll die. Those people who live, especially when I lived in Portland, Oregon, I used to fly down every once in a while to LA because Prabhupada would come there. And Oregon is, it's like here, it rains too much. So it's very, very green. And California never rains, that's why all these forest fires are going on. So when we're flying down, we could tell when we left Oregon, because then the ground turned brown. And then we could tell when we got to LA, because then the air turned brown. If you live in LA, you smoke a pack of cigarettes a day without even smoking. So we're exploiting the resources of material nature to make life more enjoyable, but we're making it more difficult. And I guarantee you, you'll never see a bullock cart wrapped around the telephone pole. Now every country in the world, so many millions of citizens are killed every day in car accidents. So we're trying to make everything more comfortable, but just creating more trouble. Just like Prahlad Maharaj, Prabhupada likes to quote that verse. Prahlad Maharaj says, that I was, my dear Lord, I was always feeling some difficulty in this world. And whatever I did to get out of that difficulty, it created more difficulty. As I remember, one devotee joined and opened a temple in Houston, Texas. And one devotee joined there, he was, I don't remember, it wasn't Peace Corps, but it was some medical, he was a doctor, so he joined some medical group that went to so-called unfortunate countries, underprivileged, whatever they call poverty, in poverty-stricken, so-called poverty-stricken, and tried to help. So they went to some place, some remote island, where there's nothing but little, people are not very advanced, they eat pigs, so there's pigs running everywhere, and pig stool everywhere. And they were inoculating them against smallpox. In the old way, they used to do it. They used to put some dead virus inside the skin, and that would cause a reaction. Like if you get a pocket, it itches like anything. Now, it itches like anything, you can't scratch it. Because then you'll spread the disease, you know, even more. So now you're trying to deal with these very simple people, little, very even more simple children. And they were vaccinating and they're telling you you can't scratch. And that's what they scratched. And it spread more and more. Then the whole arm became inflated. And so many children died just from the infection. So we were trying to, this is material welfare workers. Usually it's worse than the problem. The only real solution is Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Prabhupada was always preaching against the so-called material welfare work. He says, like blowing on a boil. And blowing on the boil will give you a little pleasure, but if you really want to cure it, then you have to take a knife and lancet.
Oh!
It may hurt, but then everything will be nice. So Prabhupada was always very strongly preaching for these spiritual solutions to the problems. We have to follow the great sages, not speculate and because we're avara, abodha jata, born in ignorance. Therefore we're singing every day that I'm born in the darkness of ignorance, my spiritual master has opened my eyes with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Therefore I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. So therefore we have to take advantage of our previous acharyas. We have to take advantage. We have so many wonderful books. Prabhupada said, this body is like a ship. The shastras are the sails. Spiritual master is the captain of the ship. And Prabhupada's books are the most wonderful. Now this marathon is going on. If I ask here how many people became devotee by reading Prabhupada's books, almost everyone will raise their hand, no? Because I remember I joined in Boulder, Colorado. And at that time I was during the summertime and I was traveling around trying to find out what life was all about. And I got a copy of Bhagavad Gita as it is, old blue one, by Macmillan, the original one. They chopped out, now that was like 400 pages. It means they edited out 700 pages of Prabhupada's book. And just the introduction, Prabhupada's introduction, answered all the questions in my heart. I don't know the process of coming to the temple and becoming a devotee. I read Bhagavad Gita and surrendered on the spot. So we have most wonderful books, we have most wonderful captain of the ship. We're not in poverty-stricken condition. We have very nice bodies. So we should take advantage of all these wonderful facilities. Nice captain is there. Nice books are there. Everything is nice. Let us follow these principles that Srila Prabhupada is giving us and cross over, live peacefully in this life and cross over this ocean of material existence and go back home, back to Godhead. So anybody has any questions? Yes.
Prabhu, on the topic of sense gratification, I haven't read, but I've heard. So I want clarification. I've heard that Prabhupada said it is like salt. And you have to have, I mean, everyone has to have a little, something like that. Could you clarify that?
I've never heard this one, but anyway, that's interesting. Because you add a little salt, then everything becomes tasty, but if you add too much, then it becomes terrible. So, this is called making the best use of a bad bargain. We've got this body, this material body. We cannot simply renounce everything. So we have to accept that much sense gratification that will get us through life back to the lotus feet of Krishna. So, like salt, if you put too much, then everything becomes blah. So now we're overindulging in sense gratification, so our life has become blah. We still haven't learned. All the scriptures, the sages, the spiritual masters, senior devotees, all telling us to keep the sense gratification down. We haven't learned. Krishna says that pleasure that's like nectar in the beginning, it becomes poison in the end. We hear it over and over again, but we're not convinced. We're like a little child. Mother's got this funny little table, and she's running this very beautiful, shiny thing back and forth, and steam is coming out of it, like that. And a child is thinking, what is this thing? And he goes to touch, and mother says, don't, hot burn. Don't touch, hot burn. So as soon as then the phone call comes and she picks up the phone, so she's inattentive. Immediately the child is not convinced. That shiny thing with steam coming out, oh, what is that? You know, he touches then. So next he sees she's in the kitchen and there's this beautiful blue carnation underneath the pot. Blue and yellow carnation underneath the pot. You know, and the child goes, the mother says, hot burn. And still, when she's a little attentive, he goes to touch that flower. And he gets that same sensation he got with the iron. Eventually it sinks in. That when mother says, hot burn, I'm going to get that bad sensation. So we're the tejas, spiritual master, everyone's telling us, but we never learn. Just like one time in the old Berkeley Temple in Telegraph Avenue. It was somebody's appearance day or something. It was a half day fast. We weren't sure we were going to survive. Fast? Half a day? Oh my goodness. We weren't sure we were going to survive. But somehow we managed to survive till noon artik, and we chanted the noon artik, you know, and then we all ran to the prasadam room and everybody sat down. Somehow we had survived, we didn't die for half day fast. We sat down and the cook started passing out the prasadam. We were just chanting the prasadam mantra stuff. And because those days it wasn't illegal, the cooks had made nice cake with creamy chocolate icing on top. And everybody's sikha went, they couldn't wait for the prasad prayer to be over. And everybody grabbed that chocolate cake and took a bite, but the neophyte cooks had put salt instead of sugar. And everybody went, but looked at it, looked so nice. We had to try a second, maybe, you know. Fasting did something to the taste. Some people even took a third bite. So we keep trying to enjoy sense gratification. We keep getting frustrated every single time. But eventually one day we'll learn. It has to finally sink in. Hot burn. The sense gratification will just lead us to frustration. And that pleasure that Krishna says that is like poison in the beginning is nectar in the end. It's like, I remember before, when I became a devotee, there was no such thing as Mangalarti. We used to get up before sunrise, around 6 o'clock or so. Maybe for the Pujaris there was more, I don't know, but there was no such thing. Then Prabhupada ordered Mangalarti. We had to get up 3:30 in the morning. Oh my God! And now if we don't go to Mangalarti, we feel terrible. To go to Mangalarti is so nice. We don't make it, you know. And we're learning, we're seeing that practically by limiting our sanskriti Krishna conscious activities, as we were describing yesterday, and then we're becoming very blissful. We're becoming very blissful. Any other question? Mahavadas.
Demon growth, it is said that Abhimanyu is the image of Krishna's shadow.
Yeah.
So could you please explain how that?
Well, it's just an idea that our acharyas are trying to get us to understand, because nobody could be connected with Radharani except Krishna. And Abhimanyu, even in dream, he doesn't touch Radharani. But he's, and they only exist just to increase the excitement of the pastimes. Abhimanyu, Jatila, and Kutila, they're always making. Because we get something easily, that's not very enjoyable. But if we have to really sneak around and do so many things, and we finally achieve something, you know, we have to pass through so many difficulties and so much excitement when you get caught. It's like I was surprised somebody, I got where they put it. Old print, because these are confidential pastimes. But, and just now in Javad, my dear friend, Abhadut Prabhu from Calcutta, he does a lot of seva in Braj. He just put new deities of Kali Krishna in Javad temple. There's one time, Abhimanyu heard that Radharani's in the forest with Krishna. So he went to the forest and he came there, and Radharani, she looked over Krishna's shoulder and said, that my husband is coming, my husband is coming. And Krishna said, bow down. He said, but my husband is coming, just bow down. But my husband is coming, I'm telling you, just bow down. And Radharani bowed down, and Abhimanyu came, and he saw that Radharani was worshiping Kali with her tongue sticking out. Very chastely as a good wife for the benefit of her husband. So Abhimanyu and all, they just exist for making the pastimes more enjoyable and more relishable. But I was surprised, this is old. 1889 or something, print of this pastime. Anyway, since there's no more questions, we can all fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet for that great personality who's showing us the way to get free from material existence and be peaceful in the material existence. See the Prabhupada ki.